That's our job as saved people, to hear the prayers of His people. That's our job in these days. And we're going to draw closer to Him in these days, I believe, than we ever have before. He will see to it. He's soon coming. And then, because He's soon coming, we'll be leaving pretty soon. And He will present us to the Father without fault, without blemish, all cleaned up. Of course, we're not there yet. He's still working on us. We're going to trust the Lord to do that for us this morning as you turn your Bibles to the 146th division of the Psalms. This will be the third message in God's Hallelujah Chorus of Praise found in Psalms 148. He gave me these messages about 35 years ago. I preached 50 messages on this subject. Didn't take notes. If He shows you something, you're going to remember it. Now, if I hear a message or if I tell you something or you tell me something, I probably won't remember 5 or 10% of it. Be truthful, you won't either. But when God shows you something, you will not forget it. This time I won't preach 50 messages on this series. I'll probably preach about 5, the number of grace. This would be the third one. A little recap for those that wasn't here. The first message, we looked at God's Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. Of course, 7 being a perfect number. He has 7 groups in His Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. He lists them in Psalms 148. And of these, the angels in heaven, they're all in tune. Of course, a third part of the angels in heaven, led by Lucifer, was not in tune, and God kicked them out. He kicked them down to planet Earth, and there they interceded with man, the 7th group of that Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. And because of Eve and Adam receiving and hearing and being deceived by the one in the garden, the devil, then they got out of tune. And because Adam and Eve was out of tune, you're out of tune, I'm in all generation. But these messages and God's Word will help us get our part back in the Hallelujahs of Praise. And we see the second part, of course, the stars, the planets. God sees the billions times billions. He sees the different light from everyone. And Job said, when the morning stars sing together, He sees every flower that's blooming. He smells the aroma from everything. He sees all the whales and all the sea life, all the birds, all part of the Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. But we want to deal on man's part. That's the 7th part. We're a bad attitude. We need to get back in tune with His Hallelujah Chorus of Praise. The second message is we saw the reasons that we are to praise the Lord. Now, in these Psalms, there are 22 verses in the Psalms that have the phrase, "Praise ye the Lord." 22. And then in the last 5 chapters of the Vision of Psalms, which we're dealing with, there are 10. Praise ye the Lord. And then we saw the reasons for praise last time, Psalms 146:1. Praise ye the Lord, He mentions it twice. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. Well, that's an eye-opener. How do we praise the Lord? From the heart. The real you, the real me, is the heart, the intellect, the soul of man. O my soul. We had to explore that because that phrase is used 14 times in the Word of God. 14, the number of deliverance, the number of salvation, the number of repentance. And see, these numbers are significant. God's Word is just full of significant things we need to get hold of. And so the only way you can be delivered and get back in tune is from the heart. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking. We say words, and we sing songs, we have actions, but it all proceeds from the heart. Praise you, the Lord. Praise you, the Lord, O my soul. And we looked at those 5 different reasons. Of course, there's many more. First of all, if we praise the Lord, it helps bring us into subjection. If the soul don't get in gear, I promise you, the body won't. See, we are a soul with the spirit inhabited in the body. And the real you, the real me is a soul. Oh, my soul, praise you, the Lord. We saw it bring us under subjection when we praise the Lord. We saw it helps give us a heavenly perception. Boy, don't we need that. We see things in this world and they're so out of order. But when you praise the Lord, it helps you get a heavenly perception. Get your mind stayed on things above. And thirdly, we saw praise you, Lord. Now, all these are from the Word of God. It's harmonious to your health. When you start praising the Lord and get out of the mully grubs and start looking to Him and praising His name, regardless of what's going on here, it's a healthy thing. It's harmonious to your health. Two other things, this message, and then we'll go on. It honors God in His Word. If there was no other reason that we praise God, it's because He told us to. And when we obey His Word, it honors Him. Now, Lord willing, next Sunday morning, we'll be looking at the message, why we praise the Lord. We're looking this morning at a different thought, but God honors this. And when you praise the Lord, it not only gets us in tune with Him. See, if you were a conductor of a choir or a band or orchestra, and their sole desire is to get everyone in tune, playing the notes. Now remember, God's a composer. He wrote it all. He wrote your life and mine. Well, not only is He the composer, He's a conductor that makes sure that everything He's planned for your life, you're in tune with. And when we praise the Lord and get in tune, He takes note. It pleases Him well. And He will reward accordingly. Fifthly, and the reason we praise the Lord last week was, or week before, is to honor to His saints. It just brings honor and glory to all the body of Christ when an individual or when we collectively praise the Lord. But this morning I want to look at the manner of praise unto our Lord. You know, praise you the Lord, it means singing, it means giving light to Him, it means giving glory, honor to Him in their life, in their living, by word, by deed. All these things are inclusive in praising the Lord, but I want to look at the manner in which indicated in the last five chapters of the book of Psalms. We're going to look at the manner that He prescribes that we praise the Lord. First of all, I want to look at the participation of a soul. It's required. If you don't get your soul in gear, I promise you there's not going to be any praise. It may be an earthly praise. It won't amount to anything. It's not even skin deep. So He tells us in the first of these five, the last division, Psalms 146. Look closely. I missed it before. I've never seen it until this week. The participation of the soul is required when you praise the Lord. If you don't get your soul in gear or in control, then He doesn't honor it. It won't amount to all these reasons we just read. It won't have anything to do. The text tells us that. Psalms 146:1. Praise you the Lord. Praise you the Lord. Oh my soul, He's telling us twice that if you participate in praise of any degree, I mean, we may think we're praising the Lord, but heaven is a judge, and heaven is the one that's going to keep it all the records. We looked recently at all the records that God keeps, a book of remembrance. And God honors it when we participate in praise from our soul, from the very intellect, the desires of the heart. We'll look at the next verse. Participation of the soul is required. Look at verse 2. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. When are we going to praise the Lord? I'll praise Him when I get home, but He wants you to praise Him now while I live. And it doesn't mean just I'm alive, I'm kicking, I'm moving, but while I live for Christ Jesus. Paul says, the life I now live, I live with the faith of the Son of God. He wants you and I, every day of our life, to live our life by faith. God honors it when we live by faith. And that's praising the Lord. So the psalmist says, I'll participate and praise the Lord from my soul while I am living, because I'm living in Christ Jesus. And therefore, I can praise the Lord. So I was saying praises to my God. The praises we give, others may see, and that's wonderful. But the real praise of our heart is unto Him, the Lord. Remember the text of this, hallelujah, course of praise. O my soul, praise ye the Lord, that Lord, all capital letters, Jehovah, the living one, the self-existent one, the one, the only God. We're singing praises unto Him. We hear each other. What beautiful harmony we had this morning. I love it. Families that sing together from the time we have other families here that sing together, little A, the longer you sing together as a family, the melody you make, and just God honors that. We have heard that. And God honors it when we sing praises unto the Lord from our heart. He anoints songs of praise from our heart. Well, second of all, in the manner in which we praise the Lord would be the purpose of our praise must be unto God. We sing and we realize everyone's hearing this when we sing. We preach and realize that many people, if they don't turn off the internet or the radio, many people are here and preach Word of God all across our nation. But the purpose of that is giving praise to Him. Of course, we also benefit from it. We hear, we increase in knowledge, and we understand more about Him, and we understand more about ourselves. And as Isaiah learned, the more you see about yourself, the more you see yourself needy. In the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. But that reflection that he got of the Lord, he had a mirror reflection of himself. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. So when we give praise and honor to God, we're participating in praise from our soul, and we're seeing Him high and lifted up. And then when we get in tune, He lets us see ourselves. And we are a needy people. So he said, it's man's part. And this hallelujah course of praise, you know, God take care of the other six parts. But He's soon coming after us. Get us all. Can you imagine sitting around the throne of God at the marriage supper of the Lamb when Christ Jesus will gird Himself and serve us? Oh, there'll be a lot of praise from our hearts then. Humility and humbleness. God loves that. But He wants it right now. So let's, this morning, purpose in our heart. That's the only thing we're going to be able to do is purpose in their heart. From our heart that we're going to honor and praise Him while I am alive physically and while I am able to praise Him from my innermost being, my soul, by the faith that He has given me. Number three, the praise that He gives us is a new song. We've heard songs that we've heard before, but they wasn't really songs that we hadn't heard before. To me, they were a new song. The words may be the same, but a new experience, new thoughts, new opportunities. Look what the text says in Psalms 149, verse 1. Praises given to the Lord from a new song. Because it may be an old song, but it's a new hope. It's a new opportunity. It's a new reflection. And you come to grips with the fact that we're living in a sinful world. He's soon coming and we're out of tune. Psalms 149 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song, and His praise in the congregation of saints. Even though the words may be the same, it's new, it's fresh, it's a new song. It's alive in Christ Jesus. We're gathered together on this Lord's Day. Like we already heard mentioned, like no other time before, like no other time in the future. We are here today. It's a new opportunity. Open up your hearts and realize that God is worthy of our praise. He's desirous of our praise, and we need the praise from the abundance of the heart. We need to praise Him with a new song, a new opportunity. He also means by that word, it's not dull or dreary. I'm sure all of us, at times past have sat through services dull, dreary. Worship services are to be uplifting, a new song, not just a new word, but the old song, it may be 200 years old. One of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had in my worship, I was in New York and spent the weekend there. I had to spend the weekend there on business. And so I said, I'll find a church here, you know. I don't know what kind of church. I said, let the Lord lead me to whatever church it is. He led me to a small church, probably about 25 people. And they had a song book I'd never seen before. I'm sure most people have. Those songs, I'd never heard them. And every song that I looked in the book was written, I mean, hundreds and hundreds of years ago. But they sang those songs unto the Lord. And even though they were the oldest songs I'd ever heard or listened to or read, boy, they were a new song to my heart. Because an experience to worship the Lord our God, to lift up our voices of praise and sing with harmony and sing with joy in our heart, full of glory, it won't be dull, it won't be dreary. It'll be a new song unto the Lord. Fourthly, He chooses the place where these songs ought to be sung. Of course, you can sing going down the road as often I do. Nobody listens. Nobody complaining that I didn't carry the tune. I'm singing to Him anyway. But He tells this verse how we're to sing and where we're to sing. Listen to what He says. Praise you, Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and His praise in the congregation of saints. I've never seen this before either. It's right there in His precious word. But I've mentioned in hundreds of messages over the years that the principle is anything, this is God's standard, not yours, not mine. Anything worth anything will be centered around the house of God. Amen. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. God chooses His church, the body of believers, to give honor and praise to Him. Look what He says. And His praise in the congregation of saints. There's many that can't be here this morning that's listening, that's watching by web internet, by Facebook. And if you were talking to them, as I have many times, they'd be the first to tell you, we watch it, we listen to it, but it's not the same. If you've not been able to come, and some of you haven't, for various reasons, it's the second best. You're here and you're listening, but it's not the same. Being in the house of God, among the congregation of His people, to lift up our voices and praise, He's here in our midst. It's not dull, it's not dreary, it's refreshing. It's a radiance from another country that He feels in their heart. And then they're being, so He says, sing a new song with new feelings, with new joy, live and fresh in the congregation of His saints. Fifthly, there's a pattern projected. Never preached this before either. Hang on. You probably never heard it preached before either. But God said, preach it, so here we go. The pattern and projection of the heart. There's a pattern. We don't see the heart. God does. And He illustrates here. Let's look at Psalms 149, verse 3. Then we'll look at another. The pattern projected in the moving of the heart. How the heart is moved. The intellect, the soul, the very being of man is reflected. He tells us how. Listen carefully. Psalms 149, verse 3. Let them praise His name in the dance. Don't leave. And don't say, I'm trying to change to a cult. I know there are churches that I've heard, I've never been to one, that perform dances, a holy dance. I'm not criticizing anything. Let me tell you about being critical. Let me draw a little bit from my ministry experiences of over 40 years. And I've been to places before where somebody was doing something the Lord said to do, and it's pretty obvious, But it wasn't obvious to everyone. Particularly, I was at Camp Zion one time, and a preacher got up, and he was running the aisles. That's fine. I could tell that was of the Lord. Somebody else in the congregation obviously couldn't tell that was of the Lord. And so about a minute or two later, this other preacher got up and started running, following him. And at the close, after they got both winded and everything, it's a large congregation, large sanctuary. The second one that followed in line said, "Let me tell you why I ran." He said, "When that other preacher was running for the Lord, I said in my heart, that's not of God. And God says, hit it, son. If you don't get up and run and follow him, you're in big trouble with me. Don't you question what I'm doing." So listen very carefully as we go through this phrase. The scripture says, let them praise his name in the dance. It's not just the moving of the dance, but it's showing us a pattern of the heart. See, he sees the heart. Now, the Israelis and the Hebrews were big on this, and we'll go into that. Let them sing praise to him with the cymbal and harp. Psalms 154. It's not the only place he used it. Praise him with the cymbal and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organ. They draw from my worship experiences through the years. I've been going to Camp Zion, my wife and I and family, over 40 years. Sometimes, most of the times, 2 weeks each year. I kind of calculated, we've probably set in over 1,800 hours of services in the place that God established, Dr. Percy Ray, Camp Zion, Myrtle, Mississippi. And I'm reflecting, the Lord brought back to my memory, some great services we had. And when you're in a great service, you remember it. You remember it. You still draw strength and praise from past services. And you long for another one like that. I was fortunate to be in services down there where Dr. J. Harold Smith preached almost every year. And one time there was over 300 people got saved in one service. And during the years of those 1,800 plus hours I've been there, I've seen hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people get saved. I've seen hundreds of preachers get called to preach. And all that was wonderful, and I reflect on it, and I praise God for it. But let me tell you about one experience. Probably it's as high as any I've ever experienced in my life. We were sitting about 10 rows back one time, and behind us, we could hear a little lady, and she was groaning in the spirit. And not the only time she ever did, but this particular time, she was groaning in the spirit. And then the groaning got louder, and boy, it was of God. You could sense it. And the next thing you knew, she was up doing a holy dance right down now. And of all the things I've ever witnessed in my life, probably the most memorable in the church service, a holy dance from God. Dr. Percy Ray said, let her alone. That's of God. I could tell it was of God. And the scripture said, now I'm not trying to get you to do it. I'll tell you, one of the greatest experiences is to see people obeying God by shouting. It's another form of wonder, of worship. And we've always seen wonderful shouting and rejoicing and different things. A holy dance that God orchestrated. The groaning, you can tell it. God, I don't know if she's trying to hold back to keep from doing it. Holy Spirit groaning from another country. And then the whole place was filled with the fragrance. So see, the dance in that regard was a movement of the intellect, a movement of the heart, a movement of the soul. It filled the whole congregation. Can you imagine what it did when God was looking how man was maybe in that place at least that hour, getting back in tune with him? One of the most important things. Let me tell you on the side, one of the most awful things I've ever experienced in church, where somebody tried to emulate or do something that was of God when it wasn't of God. You feel like you were in a funeral or worse. I've been to funerals where there's rejoicing. But when people, for whatever reason, Scripture's full of illustrations where people said, because they did it, we'll do this too, and God wasn't in it. It's the most awful thing in the world. So if God impresses you to do a holy dance, you got to make sure it's of God. And we'll all know it. And if it's not of God, then we'll surely know it too. But he says, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing psalms, praises with him in the timbrel and harp. Then Psalms 154, praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and organs. Let's go back through the Word of God and understand a little bit more about this. He emphasized this timbrel, this instrument that he chose. The Hebrew people used it often, and God honored it. Let's go back to 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. See, this movement or this pattern that projects and lets us see and lets us understand a little bit what God is seeing. Samuel 6:12. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom unto the city of David with gladness. See, the ark of God, which is the presence of God with them, that's a long story, but hadn't been in Jerusalem. And now David understood how to, according to the scripture, bring it to his city. And as he brought it, references in it shows us the type of when the Holy Spirit, when God is present with us, there's a rejoicing, there's a reflection of the heart, there's a movement of the Holy Spirit, and God sees it. And David demonstrated it. Verse 13 says, and it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone six paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced both before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. See, the deliverance of God's presence through the ark to the house of God brought a jubilation, a joy, an opportunity to express that to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit took over, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And all the people saw it and rejoiced. Was everyone thrilled and happy? Seemingly all but one. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. So when David was obedient to the Holy Spirit and did that holy dance before the Lord, other people were involved. So God used that to illustrate, to show a movement, how he was pleased. And they saw an earthly demonstration, and all the house of Israel was shouting. Because David was obedient, then it issued and it sprang forth as shouting among the people, rejoicing. See, God does that. Someone, he'll pick a certain person to shout, certain person to lift their voice. God's in charge. If he does, don't quench it. For God's sake, don't quench it. Because God uses things like that to fill the house with the fragrance from another country. But now, David's wife was probably, everyone won't read about it, but she was very upset about it. You showed your ignorance and all before all those maidens. You did it for the wrong reason. No, no, no. David didn't do it for the wrong reason. God impressed him and impressed him to do the holy dance before the Lord. Lastly, there's a picture in the Word of God of our jubilation, our joy. And God uses some illustrations, the temple and the dance, to show us some illustrations of what he sees. God sees the heart. He sees a reflection of the heart. He sees the brokenness. God loves a humble, a heart that is broken before him. God uses that and honors that. God hates pride. He hates a prideful spirit. But when we humility and have show that humility, God honors that. Let's look at the picture of obedience, jubilation, joy, triumph, and victory in Christ through the temple, musical instrument. God shows it in Psalms 150, verse 1. Illustration. He he uses musical instruments. By the way, these musical instruments, I don't have one, but it's a round, and the Hebrews is a round device with bells on the outside, and it's covered, and they play it. It's beautiful, but God uses his instrument to portray and project all the joy and the jubilation with worship. In Psalms 151, praise you the Lord, praise God in his work, in the sanctuary, which we praise in other places too. But in particular, God honors and impresses worship and praise in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the thimble and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sound cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise you the Lord. So God expects you. You have breath this morning? I have physical breath, but the only way you can really praise him is when the breath of God and God breathed into man, and then man became a living soul. And you see, when the Holy Spirit comes and quickens us and shows us we're sinners, and he comes and tells us that we need a Savior, and he shows us Christ Jesus, crucified one, resurrected, the one that's coming again, he convicts us of our sin. And then we are alive in Christ Jesus. And the last verse in Psalms, verse 6, let everything has breath. The breath is the breath of God that he has breathed into your heart. And from our soul, that breath that he quickened with his spirit and saved our soul, then we praise the Lord from the innermost being of our heart. We praise the Lord. I want to look at one other thing. Out of this jubilation and this joy. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 15, verse 17. The scripture just full of musical instruments that God uses to bring glory and honor to him. And I thank God for our band, and the drums, the guitars, musical instruments ordained of God. Piano, many strings, or all these bring glory to God through the people that's playing them, of course. Not just an instrumental, but remember the song that lift up and tell the people about the goodness of God. That's what God anoints. That's when real praise kicks in. Exodus chapter 15, we're looking at the jubilation and the joy. And when we're victorious, we need to express that to God through praise. Look at verse 17. Exodus chapter 15. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever, for the house of Pharaoh went in and his chariots, and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Now here's the praise. This is an example. Children of Israel were headed to the promised land. The enemy didn't like it. Egypt didn't like it. The Pharaoh, remember the story. God parted the Red Sea. They went over on dry land. And then Pharaoh came after them with his mighty chariots. God closed in the ways, and they were grounded. Now what's happening? Time for praise. What's your life and mine? Think sometimes about what God's done for you. Just stop and think. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Put down the newspapers. Just start thinking about the victories God's brought you through. Think about the victories God's brought your family through. And think what the victories that God is presently bringing us through and the victorious day when he takes us home. Boy, if that's not a cause of praising the Lord. A movement, a pattern of movement of the heart and the intellect and the soul of man to look to heaven in thankfulness. And ask him to purge your sins. You say, well, I did that when I got saved. I did too, but I'm still in the flesh. Still have the thoughts I shouldn't have. And James says, if any man know to do good and do it not, to him sin. I would not dare ask this morning, have you and I done all we know to do? Well, if I know to do it and haven't done it and should have done it, then I have to confess before God. Forgive me, Lord. And then when he does, by his grace, by his mercy, that gives joy and jubilation in my heart. That I have victory through him, no matter of my mistakes, because of him. Now look what happened. They'd been brought through the Red Sea. There was no hope, none whatsoever. They had left Egypt on the way to the promised land. A couple of million or more, no doubt, women, children, boys, girls, and old men and old women, no doubt. It all come. Long way to go, but a great God to lead them. But there's a Red Sea, it's before them, obstacle. No way, we're going to cross it. And God says to Moses, stand still. Just stand still. All the things before us, it's obstacles, hindering causes, there's so many. And there's more every day. What's that to a God? He can open up the way to give victory. And then they looked behind, and there were all the Egyptian chariots and all the horsemen closing in. Woe is us. No, hardly. God opens up a way. The enemy comes in, and they were drowned. Time for jubilation. Time for joy. Let's see how God planned it. A pattern. A projection of soul. Are they thankful? Let's see how they express it. Verse 20. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a thimble in her hand, and all the women went out after her with thimbles and with dances. See, the rest of the congregation could see that, and they could see what God uses a thimble again, and he uses a dance, an expression to others of the jubilation, the joy, the thanksgiving. It wasn't dull. It wasn't boring. It was joy. They were still out just beyond the Red Sea and a long way to go, but they're rejoicing over their past victory. What a victory. God, if you're saved, has brought you out of a world of sin. He saved their souls. Read their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He came to live in their heart. He gives us victory day by day. All the blessings you have from God, Father of light. My job, your job, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord, O my soul. And rejoice. And if God breaks you out in the holy dance, wonderful, we'll all be blessed. And if he doesn't cause it physically to happen from your innermost being, there's dancing, there's rejoicing. The heart reaches out to God. And you may be sitting still and not move a muscle. God sees the heart. The reflection of the heart. The brokenness of the heart. The thanksgivingness of the heart. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Randy, could you bring your family back and sing that first song? Yeah, or any other song you want to. Invitation time. Stand. Tiffany's still back there. Sometimes she has to leave with the baby. God saw to it she didn't have to leave today. From the abundance of heart, let's get in tune with God. You say, I can't get washed in tune. No, it's not a responsibility. He says, my people. You're his people. And then others around you may not be saved, but they've heard, they've seen, they understand in their mind that they need the Savior. If you have never accepted him as your Lord and Savior, Miriam says, sing ye to the Lord, not just in song, but from the abundance of the heart. We're singing victorious. He uses his temple, this earthly instrument. to give praise and honor to Him. He sees it all. And your heart's rejoicing. Be ye glad. Be ye thankful. Praise ye the Lord. Altar's open.